Our New Testament lesson this morning is taken from the book of Romans, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Gracious God, I pray that each of us would seek your will for our lives and for your church. I pray that we would become living sacrifices for you, that everything about our lives would lead others to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that the words that I am about to speak are your words. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What is so great about the church? A question many people are asking today. Today in the United Methodist Church, as we are here in worship, a special general conference is happening in St. Louis. A question many are asking in the Catholic faith amidst the troubles of sexual abuse. A question asked by those who have been hurt by someone or someones in the church. A question asked by those who have never been to church. A question asked by those who are seeking and searching because they need help and they don't know where to turn. Last weekend, I had a conversation with a woman, and this is what she said to me. She said, "My faith in God is strong. My faith in the church, not so much." What is so great about the church? I think the people are great. I believe that the church is a group of people who are followers of Jesus Christ. I believe the church, with a capital C, isn't concerned of the things of this world which will not take us into eternity, but they're concerned with the souls of individuals who may be left behind. There is a church right here in Tyrone on Pennsylvania Avenue, and it says it's a church without walls. Now, we know that inside that building there has to be walls, right? But the message that they're trying to get across is that the church is not staying inside of this building, but it's going out into our community. I also believe, not necessarily for that church, but for many people, we put up walls, don't we? We put up personal walls, and we're afraid of those walls coming down. We're afraid of showing others our hurts, our doubts, our fears. There are those who do not know Christ, who are outside of the building, who put up walls because they don't understand. Maybe because they have never even heard the name of Jesus. They don't understand what it means to come together with others and to worship the Savior of the world. And so both those inside and outside of the church put up walls. What's so great about the church? I was raised United Methodist, and I remember having several pastors in my lifetime. We know that's the way of the United Methodist Church, isn't it? Pastors come and pastors go. But when I was young, I thought the church was the pastor. However, as I became an adult and I got more involved in the church, I came to realize that the church was the people who were there with me on my faith walk. The people that were there surrounding me with their love and their guidance and their care. And I came to realize that I was an important part of the church. Not only to be there for others that were there with me, but to go out and share the good news of the salvation of Jesus Christ. I realized that for me to be the church, I had to have Christ in my life. And I needed to know that He had a mission for me as well as for the church. I was a member in a church where there was a pastor for 23 years. When he moved, they brought in an interim pastor. Now, this is the United Methodist Church, so we know that's almost unheard of, isn't it? 23 years in one church. The thinking behind bringing in an interim pastor was no matter who they would have brought in, after having a pastor for 23 years, that person would live in the shadows of that pastor who had been there so long. And I can tell you, that's exactly what happened. The interim pastor was criticized for everything from his sermon to his work schedule and everything that fell in between. My heart ached for him. My heart didn't ache for him because of the criticism that was given about him, but my heart ached for him because people failed to see who he was in Jesus Christ. I'll be honest with you. He is the most Christ-like person I have ever met in my life. And I'm 60 years old. I tell you that from the bottom of my heart. But most people never allowed themselves to see who he was in Jesus Christ because they were only looking at what had been. They were only looking at what had become so familiar to them that they weren't open to something that was new and different. Pastor Jack preached the Word of God. He did so very differently than the pastor who had been there for 23 years, and so people didn't like that. Pastor Jack loved the children, and he started a children's time in the church. The people didn't like that because the pastor before him didn't think that children should be part of the worship service. Our children proved something very different today with the smiles that were on your faces. Pastor Jack loved music. And the church had an awesome choir, but he often would have someone else come in and sing. And people didn't like that. Because it got them often out of church late. And the pastor who had been there before him had his service exactly timed. Worship was 50 minutes long. Pastor Jack brought people into the church who were the undesirables of the community. He brought in the drug addicts. He brought in those who had been imprisoned. He brought in those who had stayed out at the bar too late the night before. He brought in those who were poor and dirty. The people didn't like that. Because the pastor before him didn't go out into the community. Instead, he catered to those who were already there. My heart ached for Pastor Jack. Because he was criticized for doing kingdom work. But you know what? My heart ached more for those who were criticizing him. Those who called themselves Christian, and yet they failed to see that Pastor Jack was a living sacrifice doing the will of God. What is so great about the church? I believe the people are great. But let's look at the other side of that. What also hurts the church? The people. So often when we say church, we think of a building, don't we? I'm going to church. My church is. And yet, when Jesus talks about the church, he isn't talking about a building. He's talking about the people. And so we need to distinguish the difference between the church with a capital C that Jesus talks about and the church with a little c. The church of Jesus Christ is the body of Christ. It's when we confess our sins and accept him as our Lord and Savior that we become part of that larger body, those who are here and those throughout the world who are followers of Jesus. The church with the little c is our local congregation. It is you and it is me. It is those in a geographical location who come together to worship. And we know that there are a lot of little C churches in Tyrone. We become a member of the local church, the little C church, when we are confirmed, when we take those membership vows. And in our church, in the United Methodist Church, those vows say that we're going to uphold the church. We're going to support it with our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. So how is it that we, this local congregation, are living out our vows as the body of Christ? How does the church with the little c carry out the mission of the church with a capital C? First, I believe that we need to pray. I believe prayer is foundation for everything that we do. We need to pray that God will give us the strength, the courage, and the wisdom to be a living sacrifice, to live into the will of who he wants us to be as the body of Christ here in Tyrone, Pennsylvania. And I believe that we have to be committed in that. Regardless of how he calls us. There was a Gallup poll taken, and it revealed some significant things about people who are committed to the church. Here is what they found. 68% of the committed group rated themselves as happy. In the highly committed group, there was a strong family unit. They tended to be more loving, more understanding, more tolerant of people who were different than them. They very much accepted others, and they often worked with those in their community. 50% working with the poor, the homeless, or older people. Working with those that others in society may have rejected. How many of us fit those categories? How many of us fit any of those categories? When the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Romans, this is the longest letter that he wrote. He is challenging them to be the church. He is challenging them to be the body of Christ. And he challenges us to be that living sacrifice, to live into the will of God. He believed that the church is the guardian of God's truth, the advocate of God's forgiveness, the proclaimer of God's word, the instrument of God's healing, the fellowship of God's redeemed people, and the sanctuary for God's worship. So again, what is the greatest thing about the church? The greatest thing is Jesus Christ, the one who gave himself for the world, the one who gave himself for you and I, the one who went to the cross and took all of our diseases, all of our sins, all of our hurts and troubles with him. You and I will fall short. We will make mistakes, and sometimes we may even fail. We will quarrel and quibble over things that don't matter in the big picture. We will disagree about things that are earthly, when our focus should be on eternity. See, the bottom line is we are here to share Jesus Christ. We're to share his love. We're to share him in a way that those who have a need can come to him. Everything we do and everything we say should have a purpose for glorifying God. Yes, we, the little church, have worship services. We have Sunday school. We have Bible study. We have youth. We have music. We have children's music and children's musicals. We care about those who are part of our church family. How is it that we are sharing all of that with our community? How is it that we are sharing that with those who are not yet here? This week I had two meetings in two different churches, and a topic of subject was about keeping our churches safe. About locking our doors, about possibly having people who have permits to carry, carrying their guns on Sunday morning. I think you probably all know how I feel about that. A locked door says you are not welcome here. Yes, I think we have to be proactive in protecting our people. Having someone sit in our vestibule, I'm not sure is the best way to do that. Having a door locked after service begins, I'm not sure is the best way to do that. I don't have an answer as to the best way for us to protect ourselves. But God wants us to love others, and God wants us to show them radical hospitality, to invite them in, to love them where they are. And so how do we do that and yet keep ourselves safe? I don't know. I believe we just have to trust God. And I believe if somebody comes in here and shoots me and I die, today was my day to die. Whether it's by the hands of someone else, or whether I walk out, get hit by a car, or go home and have a heart attack. But I think we really need to think about who we are as God's church. We are the body of Christ. We are the one to show others who Christ can be for them. Paul goes on in the book of Romans, or his letter to the Romans, with a few things that tells us how we can do that. And one of the things is our love must be sincere. We have to be authentic in loving one another. He tells us that we shouldn't think more highly of ourselves than we do any other human being. He tells us we should be hospitable. He tells us we should never seek revenge. He tells us that we are to look at the needs of our brothers and sisters, and to feed the hungry and give drink to the thirsty. You and I have the living water. We have the bread of life to give to others. How do we do that? That lives into the will of God. We need to be in prayer. We need to seek God's will for who He wants the Wesley United Methodist Church to be. If we continue to read in the book of Romans, we're going to see that he talks about continuity as well as lack of unity in that history of salvation. But this is what we need to remember. We are united together because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And so when we come together in that sacrificial living, ready to be the church with a capital C, we will commit ourselves to the mission that Jesus gave us, that mission to go out and make disciples. And we will fulfill our vows as United Methodists to do so for the transformation of the world. Amen.